So we're in the Sefer Netivot Shalom, Parashat Kitisa. This is the piece that begins with the words Lo Chatu Yisrael Ela Larot Tshuva LeRabim. So in the parasha we find many big topics. Among them is the Chet HaEgel. And as the Chazal says that we're going to see right away, there's a Chazal, very famous Chazal, puzzling one, but a famous one, that the Bnei Yisrael only sinned. What happened? They sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu went up. He begged forgiveness on behalf of Am Yisrael. Hashem forgave them. As it says, Salachti Kidvarecha, we read those words. When? Which day? When do we read that? Every fast day. Every Tanit Tzibor we read it. Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha, Hashem forgave us. And Moshe came down with Luchot Shniot. Very good. So what happened was, what's the back and forth? They sinned. They did tshuva. We received forgiveness, and they re-received the Torah. Okay? Don't focus on... We're not going to go into the order now. So the Chazal says that the Bnei Yisrael only sinned leharot tshuva larabim, in order to show the future generations that no matter how bad of a sin you can do, you can always do tshuva and fix it. You can always make it better. That's what the Chazal says.
You mean they did it purposely?
Okay, so that's why I said it's puzzling. What does that mean? They did it on purpose just to do that? Okay, we're not going to go into that now. It's a very big question.
Who said the Neshama did?
I'm sorry?
It's not they did it physically on purpose, but like it was really something like a deep part of their Neshama was clinging to do that in a weird way to do that there so then they can get purified for it.
You know, if you go to your Rebbe and you say, you know, I have a very good friend, I'm his role model. He doesn't understand that I can do something and be forgiven for it. So I'm going to purposely go and sin. I'm going to purposely go and eat a cheeseburger. Okay? And then the next day, I'm going to go and daven. Okay? That way, he's going to see that it's possible to do an Avera one day and to continue being a Jew the next day. What do you think your Rebbe would say to you?
He wouldn't like that at all. That'd
Why not?
There are better ways to teach.
Why not?
First of all, it's like a mitzvah about Avera. It's like you're trying to do something right, but you're just doing something wrong.
It's just not the way we go about things.
Yeah.
It's not the way we go about things. So too here. You know, the mainstream way of living a Jewish life is not like this. How do you explain this Gemara in Avodah Zarah? I don't know.
But isn't there a story with Rav Avadia where like he made the guy sin one Shabbat so the guy would...
That's something else. That's when a guy was already sinning every single Shabbat, so he minimized the sin so that in the future it will be less and less.
But isn't it sort of related?
No.
No?
No. Okay, let's start.
Wait, what about Gehazi?
What about him?
He wasn't allowed to... He didn't have a chance to do tshuva, even though his sin was also big.
No, because sometimes people sin so much that God... Like Paro, he sinned so much that he got to a point where God doesn't even give you to do tshuva.
Right, like Michtar Meliyahu says, yeah. And Hashem takes away the bechira from you at some point. Okay, let's go on, let's start. Amru Chazal. So the Gemara in... The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says... Lo chatu Yisrael elo lorot tshuva l'arabim. Fine. Leor ze, in light of this, hare parashat ha'egel hi parashat ha'tshuva. So if so, that the Chazal say that the only reason why this episode happens in Jewish history is so that the future generations will see that you could do a tremendous sin and continue being Jewish and do tshuva afterwards. If so, then we have to learn the ABCs of tshuva from this episode.
I mean, now that it happened, yeah,
right?
We could learn that lesson.
Right.
But it's hard to say that they did.
So let's learn in detail a few things about tshuva.
Let's do it.
Sheyesh lilmod mimena inyanim miyuchadim mitshuvatam shel Yisrael. So there is what to learn from the tshuva of Am Yisrael. Dehine ita b'mefarshim. So it says in the mefarshim, aha dechtiv, on the pasuk it says, vayar et ha'egel, umcholot, vayishlach miyadav et aluchot, vayishaber otam. So what happened was, Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Okay, now, this is the order of events. Now, pay attention to these order of events. Hashem told Moshe, Lech red ki, I forgot the exact pasuk, ki hishcheta am, or something like that. Like, you know, the nation has gone corrupt. Quickly go down. Moshe Rabbeinu went down. And then what did he see? He saw they're worshiping Cheta Egel, Mecholot, you know, singing, dancing. They made a big party out of it. So that's what it says here. Vayar ta Egel umcholot. Vayishlach miyadav et aluchot vayishabertam. So he saw the Egel and the Mecholot. And the Mecholot means the instruments, right? They were playing music, they were dancing, they were happy. That's the key word, they were happy. And then he threw the luchot down and he broke it. The bitchila kasher amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning when Hashem said to him, lech red, go down, kishichet amcha, because they went corrupt, they went wrong. Adain lo shavar et haluchot. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break the luchot when Hashem said, you know, quickly go down, they're doing something wrong. He didn't break the luchot then. The kol ot shelo ra'a otam smechim ima egel, as long as he did not see them happy while worshipping the Cheta Egel, lo haya davar kol kach hamur be'enaf. Moshe Rabbeinu thought to himself, okay, they sinned, fine. I'm sure they regret it, right? But once he went down and he saw that they're sinning and they're happy about it, and they're singing and they're dancing, that already said, whoa, you just crossed the line. Only after he saw them playing music, singing and dancing around, surrounding the Egel, shehem od smechim bo, that they're not only they do it, they're happy. As shavarta luchot, we find so many times that you know, in my life, you know, you're doing an avera. In the middle of the avera, you know it's wrong. You feel like garbage in the middle of the avera, whatever it may be. Use your imagination. You feel like garbage. You just don't stop. You continue doing it. But you feel like, and you know that the second you're finished doing what you're doing, you're going to kick yourself in the head, if possible, and you're going to say, I can't believe I did that. Not only afterwards you regret it, in the middle of the avera you regret it. You're sad in the middle. You believe such a thing? You're like, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it anyways. And I don't want to do it, and I'm upset at myself that I'm doing it, I'm sad, and I regret it, but I'm going to continue doing it. And you do it, and you finish it, and then you're upset at yourself even more. And then you go into depression, yirida, and then you say, my tefillah is not valuable, look what I did, this and that. It's a chain effect. Go and open up Likutei Maran to recover from that. That's not for now, okay? But what is for now is that you see the average person, the normal person, who is at least a little conscious of good and bad, of mitzvot and averot, of what gets Hashem upset and what makes him happy, would not be happy while doing the averot. V'nimtza, so it comes out, she'etzem chet ha'egel od lo haya koch hamur ki im hamcholot she'samchu b'zeh. It comes out an amazing thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu found out that they were doing a horrible haver alvera, I don't know if he knew that they were doing Chet HaEgel or not at that point when Hashem told him to go down, but he knew that they were doing a horrible avera. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take any action yet. He didn't take action. Why? Because there's still hope. There's still hope. It's not so bad yet. But once he saw that they're doing the avera and they're sameach while doing the avera, that's that. So it comes out that the actual maaseh, the actual sin of the Chet HaEgel in Moshe's eyes wasn't so bad. It's only when he saw that they were with a mecholot and singing and dancing and they were happy while doing it, that's when they crossed the line. Shebishvil zeh tzarich haya leshaber et haluchot. So now how do you explain such a thing? Let's explain. Let's understand what tshuva is. Ve'abiur b'zeh, and again, I told you I'm learning this together with you. It's not a shiur. We're learning this together. Ve'abiur b'zeh, and the explanation is as follows: that Kadosh Baruch Hu berov rachamav hishir derech tshuva. Hashem, what He did was, when He created mankind, He also created a derech of tshuva. She'afilu le'achar sheyehudi kvar nichshal v'higia lematzav shafel v'yarud biyoter, even when a person falls to great depths. He falls tremendously. Such, you know, giant falls, like, you know, I was in the Grand Canyon last year. Okay? I'm afraid of heights. I'm really, really afraid of heights. I'm not even embarrassed to say it anymore. First few times I said it, I was like blushing when I said it, but I don't know. I'm afraid of heights. So I didn't go anywhere near the cliff of the Grand Canyon. Like nowhere. There's a fence. I was like 100 feet behind the fence. I don't know. What if the fence breaks a little bit? You never know. I'm rationalizing my head right now.
Huh?
Hygrophobia. I have a phobia of heights. That's what it is. I have a phobia of heights. Okay, you're going to ask me a question. You're not afraid on airplanes? No, I'm not. It's a question. We'll deal with it another time. I don't know. I don't know why.
You got to take the subway and stop 125th Street.
Okay.
Scared of bridges?
No.
Scared of
heights?
No. Okay, we're not going into detail about the about my fear of heights. But anyways, can you imagine a fall from the top of the Grand Canyon to the bottom, all the way to the bottom? A huge fall. So sometimes Jews fall tremendously. But still, Barak Kadosh Baruch Hu, Terufa Mitoch HaChet Atzmo. Hashem created a terufa, a medicine, a potion from the actual sin. What does that mean, from the actual sin? You can do tshuva while you're sinning. You ever hear such a thing?
No.
While you're sinning, you can do tshuva. Remember the example that we were talking about before. Et Yisurei HaMatzpun Sheyesh Lo Le'achar HaChet. Okay? The suffering that a person has immediately after he sins, shelibo shavur bekibro al cheto, that is, his lev, his heart is broken. I can't believe I did that. He's killing himself. He's so upset at himself. It's painful, guys. It's very, very painful. Not the actual avera, but your psyche, the insides, as in Ashkenazim say, your kishkas. Your kishkas, they're in a lot of pain after an avera. That's pain. V'gam imhu enu margish b'ze ach b'pnimiyut alef shavur mod. V'ze b'bchinat kusta dechiyuta. I don't know what those words mean. Hamitoreret be'adam mitoch achet gufo. Hameorer bo yisrael matzpun. She'al yidei ze yachzor lo shorcho. That basically the road to tshuva begins at the time of the avera. When you have those feelings of regret and feelings of depression at the time or immediately after the avera, that already is the beginning to tshuva. That's the beginning. So Hashem created a person with the yetzirah and the ability to sin, but in that aspect alone, he planted in there tshuva as well. That inside the chet and inside the flaw that's inside of you is hidden haturfa, the medicine for the wound. Once, as Hashem said to Moshe, she Israel asu egel, that the Bnei Israel did the sin of the egel, chet egel. Adain lo haya bedaato lishbar taluchot. He said, no, we don't have to break the law. We don't have to go that extreme yet. We have to break the luchot. Ki haya savur, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, shevadai od yesh lehem et akusta dechiyuta. They still have that feeling inside of them, that lev nishbar, that broken heart, that depression. Vilibam shavur bekibram. Their hearts are broken. Vem bochim yatzvim al kishlolam. They're crying and they're in so much pain from their avera. Rak kasher ra'a et ha-mecholot. Shehem smechim baze. Only once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Bnei Israel are happy while doing the avera, nityaesh az legamre, he gave up right away. Shema yachol hu od la'azor lahem. He said maybe we could still help them. V'yishlach et haluchot. And what did he do? He threw the luchot down and he broke it. Shera'a, because what did he see? She'en lehem shaychut al luchot. He saw that they don't have any connection to the luchot. She'kvar nitnatku min ha-shoresh. They already disconnected themselves from the source, from the Torah, from the source. Min ha-chelek elokam imal. Ha-tovem yehudi lelo heref. Eicha, heichan ata ba'olam. The Torah always shouts at us. Hashem is always shouting at us. where are you? I want to see you, I want to find you. But Moshe Rabbeinu saw, after they did such a sin, and they were happy while doing the sin, that they were not to be found anymore. So now, the Gemara says that Hashem told Moshe, Yasher kochacha sheshibarta. Kol hakavod, chazak ubaruch that you broke the luchot. Moshe Rabbeinu gets a pat on the back for doing what he did. He did a very good thing. How so? Just like the pasuk in Chazal says in Dvarim, like Chazal say on the pasuk in Dvarim, ulkol hayad hachazaka, asher asta Moshe leinei kol Yisrael. So basically the pasuk explains that Moshe Rabbeinu did a good thing by breaking the luchot. Shenas'o libo lishbor luchot leinehem. So why is that a good thing? Kasher Moshe Rabbeinu ra'a she'en Yisrael tikkun. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they have no tikkun. That's it, finished. You did the avera and you were happy while doing the avera. There's no tikkun for such a thing. There's no tshuva for that. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, tzaddik that cared so much for Am Yisrael. What did he do? He saw ki libotam shlemim ve'enam shvurim. Their hearts are not broken while doing the avera. V'tzarich, what did he do? V'tzarich lishbor et ha-levavot shel kol shishim ribo b'nei Yisrael. We know that the Torah is made up of shishim ribo neshamot, 600,000 neshamot of Am Yisrael. And he saw that the Jews, their own physical neshamot, their own physical hearts are not broken. So what did he have to do? He had to go and break the luchot. He had to go and break the hearts of shishim ribo, of the 600,000 Jews. He said there's only one thing we could do. Only one more thing we could do. And that is to break their life source. That is to give them the most intense wake-up call that they will ever get in their life. And that is to break their neshamot. To break the luchot that makes up the neshamot. Alidei shiirut aluchot Hashem maaseh Hashem hema v'mechtav mechtav Hashem nishbarim lanem, through them seeing the luchot being broken in front of their eyes, ishbaru libotem shel kol Yisrael. They're going to break their own hearts and they're going to say, "Wow, what did we do?" V'zeh yeh avuram haderech latikvon. This is the only way. This was the only way in that episode. This is the only way for them to reach their tikkun and to do tshuva. And if by sota, by the whole story of the sota, that Hashem says what? That how do we clarify if a sota is a sota or not? What happens?
You erase the name of Hashem in the water.
You write the name of Hashem, a specific name of Hashem, on a cloth, and you put it into the water and you mix it, right?
Yep.
So why did Hashem say that? His name gets erased. You're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. Hashem said, it's better that I erase my name in order that there should be shalom bayit between the husband and wife. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that over there by the sota, in order to bring shalom, to bring peace between the husband and wife, Im legabei sota ne'emar yimche shemi, my name should be erased, alamayim, kedei la'atil shalom ben ish le'ishto, harei kol sheken etzakal v'chomer, la'asot shalom ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. Hashem said, all the more so, kal v'chomer, my name should be erased, in order that there should be peace, shalom bayit, between me and Am Yisrael.
At that point, of the
breaking of the luchot? Okay, but according to this, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the process. That was the beginning of the process. And it's a good point. But that was the beginning. That, I guess that broke the ice. This action that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that saved Am Yisrael. That's why he was acknowledged for good for what he did. And on this action that Moshe Rabbeinu made, on this breaking of luchot, the pasuk in Dvarim says, Moshe Rabbeinu, good. It's good what you did. Only Moshe in his greatness was able to do such a thing. So what's the takeout from here? The takeout from here is that seemingly there was one point in history where all of Am Yisrael, they did not regret their averot. They did not regret an avera that they did. And that was the severity of the avera. So going, tying it back full circle. I'm trying to put this together now. That what happened was that the Bnei Yisrael lo chatu ala lorot tshuva l'arabim, right? Bnei Yisrael, as Chazal say, they sinned so that they should show tshuva l'arabim. So if you would have told me that tshuva, yeah, we learned from the Chet HaEgel that we are able to do tshuva. But if you would have told me that the Chet HaEgel was what? Was that they worshipped Avodah Zarah? If you told me that alone was the sin, then I would say, okay. You know, it's a tremendous thing that they did tshuva and they were answered. And for us too, when we do a sin, we can also do tshuva. Great, that's a very big deal. But now, according to this piece, that wasn't the severity of the avera. It wasn't only the action. It was their thoughts behind the action. It was their feeling during the action. It was the idea that they weren't regretting what they were doing. They were happy with what they were doing. And we find that what? They still achieved tshuva. So what does that mean for us? Kedei lorot tshuva l'arabim? That means what? That you can have a person, no matter how low he can go, and the lowest place that you could go is to do an avera and be happy about it. That's the lowest place you could go, and to not regret it, not even one bit. Don't ever say to yourself that you cannot reach tshuva, you cannot attain tshuva. Look at Am Yisrael. Look at how severe their avera was. And they still made tshuva, and their tshuva was still accepted. Chazal says the Bnei Yisrael sinned to show the public and future generations that tshuva works, no matter how bad your sin is, and no matter how happy you are while doing the chet, and no matter if you don't regret the chet at all, there is still an opening for you to do tshuva. So, Bezat Hashem, we should take this to heart, that we shouldn't reach that level. We shouldn't reach that level of not feeling it. You know, when there's a boy that I sat with this week, Mamash, he's not here, so I'm telling you about him. I'm not telling you his name. He said to me, Rabbi, since I got here, I feel like I've been going downhill religiously. In Israel, I made every minyan. I used to learn, and I was so excited about learning. I came here. I'm not trying to trash YU. It's a beautiful place. But his transition, he was trying to tell me, his transition period was a very, very difficult one. And he said, and I'm not happy about it, he said. I don't like it. I'm not happy. I'm not happy when I wake up an hour late and when I wake up at 10, 11 o'clock every morning. I'm not happy. I'm not a happy person. I want to be, when I was in Israel, I was a happy person. So I said to him, before we try to fix anything, I want to explain to you something. That when you go to the doctor and you tell him you have a broken bone or something, you have a cut somewhere. The first thing he does is what? Is to check for if you're numb or not. Right? If you're numb, what does that mean? It's something more severe, that maybe you punctured some vein inside of you. Then it's a little more severe. Right? There's neurological damage. If he takes a little pin, and bam, he stabs you in the arm, and you jump, and it hurts, he says, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It's a good sign. That means that your whole arm is working very, very, very well. And now we could just fix the bone. So I told him, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy. I told him, very happy. You're alive. You have a pulse. It upsets you. You're not happy. That's very good. That's a very good sign. If you didn't acknowledge your yeridot, that would be a bad sign. That means you're numb. That means you're not alive. I said, Baruch Hashem, that's step number one. The fact that you acknowledge your yeridot. So, Baruch Hashem, most of us should try to feel that. But you should always know that even if you don't, there's still an opening for tshuva. That's what we learned from the Bnei Yisrael and the Chet HaEgel. That lo chatu Yisrael, ela lorot tshuva, l'rabim.